Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. The text reads as follows. But those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But to those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, in this particular text in Romans, Paul provides a clear distinction of the Christian mind versus the non-Christian mind. And two things are going to help us understand and agree upon what mind the believer possesses to fight the battle. And in verse 5, we'll see the bent of the Spirit's mind. And in verse 6, we're going to look at the byproduct of the Spirit's mind. So let's look at this, the bent first. It says there, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now actually, if you go back to verse 4, Paul begins this Christian versus unbeliever contrast. And he starts by comparing their walks. And in verse 5, he continues the comparison, now using the mind. And so the distinguishing mark between the two is found from the verb in the sentence, and that's set their minds. Set their minds is proneo, and it means to direct one's mind to a thing. To seek or to strive for. To pursue things which gratify either the flesh or the Holy Spirit. It can mean to set one's heart and mind to something. This would be what a man plans in his mind. Now, it's not the mind and intellect itself, but a mind's thought patterns. A mind's affections. Its will, and how he reasons. In other words, it's the mind's bent. So he starts out with the dead man's mind. The dead man's bent. The man according to the flesh. What does he do? He sets his mind to things of the flesh. His mind is programmed to obey sin. His mind loves darkness. Remember in John 3:19-20, it talks about that they love darkness, so they won't come to the light. Even if he professes Christianity, he's not sensitive to spiritual things. MacArthur says this, no matter how self-sacrificing, moral, and sincere the life of an unredeemed may be, his religious efforts are selfish because he cannot truly serve God because his mind is set on the flesh. Now, the term flesh can have more than one meaning, but here it is in reference to the human flesh that is corrupted and utterly powerless against the power of sin. So this mind practices what it's set to. In other words, it loves pornography. It doesn't want to give it up. It's kind of like in Proverbs 13, it explains what this bent is like. Desire realized is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. It doesn't want to turn away. It's bent on doing evil. And that bent is deadly. Do you have this mind? To think about that. Now let's look at the bent of the man, the mind of the Spirit. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we can see it's simple to deduce from the structure of the sentence that the mind is set on the Spirit. And it's like the one who's exhorted in Philippians 2:5 to have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. Having the Spirit's mind means you are not only prepared for the battle, you have the right mindset to fight the battle. The believer has a greater mind dwelling inside of him. That's why the scripture says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the greater mind. Now, what are the things of the spirit that this mind is set to? Well, the first thing is that we've got to know is these things of the spirit are spiritual. They're understood by the spirit. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. What does the Spirit appraise? He appraises what is prescribed and commanded in Scripture. We know that what's prescribed in Scripture is spiritual things. So, when it says, gentlemen, in Ephesians 5:25, love your wife, the Spirit's mind is set to that. There's no wiggle room. You can't say, well, I can't. No, if you have the mind of the Spirit, you can't, because that's what it's set to. Oh, but I got these rough kids. Well, Ephesians 6, verse 9 says, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what the Spirit's mind is set to. We can't avoid that. Even accountability is what the Spirit's mind is set to. You believe me? Well, Scripture says so. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. What does Galatians 6:1-2 say? You who are spiritual, restore such a one. That's accountability. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. The Spirit's mind is set to accountability. Now, I'm stressing accountability, because accountability is important for men. It's very important. Don't run from it. Don't run from it. Why? If you're a Christian, the Spirit is set to it. So you shouldn't run from it. And in fact, you should do it every day. And we have accountability on Fridays, for those of you at Hope, that meets in Hope Bible Church in the Annex. But it is to be every day. Don't believe me? Hebrews 13:12-13. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as this is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Are you running from accountability relationships? Because the Spirit's mind is set to them. Well, the things of the Spirit, we also have to know, are not of this realm. They're spiritual things that are from above. Colossians 3:1-2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. So the bent of the Spirit's mind is greater. That's why you're under attack. You know, Galatians 5 talks about the flesh and the Spirit are in opposition. Now, the thing is, when we look at the enemy's attack, there's a tendency to focus on our minds. And we look like, it looks like the we're carrying a six-shooter in a war. Like, what am I going to do with this? This little mind, I can't handle all these attacks. But the bent of the Spirit is the greater weapon. Remember in Ephesians 6 when it talks about putting on the full armor of God? You have the sword of the Spirit. You have all of this to fight off the enemy's darts.
Darkness. Darkness. The enemy has the six shooter. You have the nuclear weapon. Bent of the spirit is greater. So are we clear on that? Good. Now let's look at the byproduct. The byproduct of the spiritual man's mind. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. First, we've got to know that these byproducts are not consequences, but they are equations. And so again, we'll look at the dead man's byproduct. And that's simply deduced. Death. There's no life. You have this byproduct, you're spiritually dead. You have no power, no life, absolutely, there's absolutely nothing you can do to rid yourself of this venture. You're on a road to destruction. It's like what Ephesians 2:1 says, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. The sentence literally reads, the mind set on the flesh, death. I ask you again, do you have this mind? If you're walking around the church or on this retreat with this kind of mind, you need to come alive. MacArthur says about this problem, the unsaved person is a spiritual corpse and consequently is completely unable in himself to respond to the things of God unless the Holy Spirit intervenes by convicting him of sin and enabling him to respond to God by faith and thus being made alive. The unsaved person is insensitive to the things of God. Basically, if you have this kind of byproduct, you can't even have a meeting of the mind because you're dead. You need to repent and believe the gospel. And then you'll have hope in Christ. The mind of the spirit is a byproduct. Well, there it is. It's life and peace. So that says that the Christian life, it's not a boring one. It's not dead, but it's alive. Yes, there's a battle, but you face it with life and peace. Now, what's life and peace? Life is the life God originally intended us to live. It's a life that's real and genuine. It's a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed. You know, Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. That's life in the spirit. It's also peace, which is the enjoyment of the condition of reconciliation. This is a spiritual peace, a peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1 talks about it. You have peace with God. Life and peace makes it greater. Let me show you just what that looks like in the scripture. Go to Acts chapter 16. Here we're going to get a glimpse of someone in the battle with a byproduct of life and peace. This is the spirit. Acts 16, verse 23. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You know what a prison was like during that time? When they locked you next to somebody, that's a war. That's a battle. They're suffering for Christ. And what are they doing? Singing hymns and praise to God. That's life and peace in the Spirit of God. You see how greater that is? Even though the situation and war around them looks like it's horrible. And that's the question a lot of times. Well, wait a minute. The sinner looks like he's enjoying his life. Let me tell you something. Don't be fooled by that false advertisement. See, what the sinner is doing is he's in a house that's burning and he's having a party in his sin. He enjoys it, he practices it, but he has no clue that the house is burning down. The believer is in a house that gets attacked all the time. But he's inside the house, enjoying fellowship with Christ, longing to be holy, in peace, and in life. And he doesn't disregard the faith because of the trials going on. He draws closer to the King. That's greater. So, now do you understand what kind of mind is involved in the battle for the mind? If you do, you just had our meeting with the minds. We now understand that what clearly we have is greater. And we can run to that even when it gets tough. Go to the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then your thought life, and you're not even, you don't even care about the thoughts, the simple thoughts that you have, you need to repent. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the mind of the Spirit. A mind that is greater. A mind that we can look to and trust in. A mind that is set to do and to set on the things of the Spirit. A mind that has life and peace. But I pray you encourage my brothers to hold on to that mind. To set their affections on that mind. When they struggle with sin, that they would repent and turn and walk after the Spirit. Lord, if any of them in here do not believe, may you call them to repentance. May you see, may you show them how ugly their sin is, how they need you. Pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.